Welcome to Big Billy Kender Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. When we're not in the great outdoors, we're thinking about it. Come on into the camp house and make yourself at home.
Every single day, we are working to protect your right to hunt, fish, and shoot. Learn more about the DSC at biggame.org.
Hey, it's camp house time here at BBKO Radio. Thanks a lot for joining us. Greatly appreciate you being here today. Front door to the camp house is brought to you by Calming Care from the trusted name Purina. Calming Care is a canine probiotic that does some pretty magical things. It's designed for the overactive dog, the overbarker, the overjumper, and over time will settle that dog very safely and gently. Calming Care. Come see me at bbkoradio.com and I'll save you $5 on your next order. Hey, happy Mother's Day weekend. Don't forget to tell Mom happy Mother's Day. And we're going to kind of focus on the ladies in the show today a little bit. We're going to talk to the 2019 winner of the Extreme Huntress competition. Her name is Lindy Christensen from Idaho. Plus, with all this COVID mess circling the globe, a lot of people are more interested in wild game for the family, for the table. Do your grocery shopping in the woods or out on the lake. They want to know how to go about that and the benefits of it. Well, my friend Shane Mahoney is a wildlife biologist and researcher, and he's been scratching his head over these things for years now. He and I sat down together back in January at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo in Dallas, and we discussed his research a little bit. I think you'll find that very interesting. He's on the show today, too. So, come on in. Grab a seat. Make yourself at home. We're glad you're in camp with us today at Big Billy Kender Outdoors with the Dallas Safari Club. Hey, let me say thank you to all of you that made a donation last weekend to the Radio Cares Radiothon. We raised over $500,000 for hungry folks right here in the United States last week. That's going to provide 5 million meals for Americans living with hunger. Our food banks get a momentary sigh of relief because of you. Thank you. Got an email this week from my old buddy Darren Peoples. He's a game warden at Caddo Lake out in East Texas, right there on the Louisiana border. He says, hey, Billy, I'm getting my gear ready to take the boys brim fishing tomorrow. Man, they've got some big, nice brim. Those old red ear brim in that Caddo Lake system. He said, I'm packing the gear, brim fishing tomorrow with the boys, and I thought about you. Just wanted to drop in and say hi. Next time you're down Caddo Way, holler at me. I'll do it, Darren. Don't catch them all. You can't stay overnight at Texas State Parks right now, but boy, for you folks in Louisiana, Arkansas, Texas, Oklahoma, anywhere, Caddo Lake State Park is a real treat. Beautiful place. Take your boat. Go fish Caddo Lake, the only natural lake in Texas, filled with cypress trees and Spanish moss, and some even say old Sasquatch has got a family down in there. Make sure you've got a GPS on your boat. It's easy to get lost in that swamp. And those great big old red ear brim in the frying pan. Caddo Lake, Texas. Check it out. Hey, the numbers are in. And this year's Bassmaster Classic in Birmingham, Alabama is one for the history books. It has bested previous numbers for economic impact. An economic windfall of $35.9 million, according to the host community of Birmingham, Alabama. Classic week attendance recorded at 122,814 people. The folks at Skeeter Bass Champs have said, hey, it's time to go fishing again. They're going to resume the season May 16th, next Saturday, Lake LBJ, Texas. They will be taking extra social distancing measures and guaranteeing $20,000 first place money. Hey, if you have a dog with chronic GI upset, you've really got to look into having Fortiflora handy at your house. I keep it in the fridge all the time, not because I have a dog with chronic GI upset, but because all of our dogs suffer from GI upset from time to time. Fortiflora. Order it from Chewy.com. I'm sick of COVID-19 and the wake of pain that it leaves both physically and financially for people. Yamaha Motor Company is one of the latest companies to include furloughs, staff reductions. Those furloughs and staff reductions will commence next week at Bennett Marine in Deerfield Beach, Florida, G3 Boats in Lebanon, Missouri, Craycor Rotational Molders, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Skeeter Boats in Kilgore, Texas, Yamaha Jet Boat Manufacturing, Vonore, Tennessee, Yamaha Motor Manufacturing Corporation of America, Newnan, Georgia, and Yamaha Marine Precision Propellers, Indianapolis, Indiana. We mentioned this last week, but it's worth mentioning again. The Missouri Department of Conservation is offering Missourians, residents only, the state's first elk hunting season in modern history. It'll take place this fall with 5 permits for hunting bull elk. 4 general permits will be for the public. 1 reserved for qualifying area landowners. Application period is open now through May 31st. And it's time to apply for that 2020 Arkansas public land elk hunt. The application period in Arkansas runs through 11:59 p.m. June 1st. 26 permits will be drawn to hunt elk in Arkansas this year, 8 being either sex tags, the other 18 being for cow elk only. This is a reduction of 3 either sex and 3 cow tags from last year.
Hey everybody, it's Dominic Zamito with Two Rivers Fly Shop in North Fork, Arkansas. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. Billy, are you sinking? It looks like you've got a heck of a hole in your waders there.
Safari, defined as an expedition to observe or hunt animals in their natural habitat. That's a pretty good overview of what we do at DSC. Safari allows us all to enjoy waterfowl in a nearby lake, elephant in African bush, and each other along the way. As we go, we recognize the need to conserve that natural habitat and those native animals both near and far. Based in Dallas, Texas, the DSC has chapters organizing across America, and the impact of our work reaches around the globe. It may be desert water guzzlers in West Texas that enable the survival of our native sheep, support of a helicopter in Africa that day after day tracks down and puts away poachers, a youngster enjoying the rifle range for the first time, or maybe it's a solid and immovable stance before politicians that would take your shooting and hunting rights away from you. If these things are important to you, please join us. Become a DSC member at biggame.org.
Covey's Promotions in Grapevine, Texas, since 1995 has been an industry leader in screen printing, embroidery, and promotional product sales. Covey's Promotions provides unique and creative custom designs, great prices, and quality products for your business, school, large group needs, or any occasion. We can design the perfect logo for your needs while working to ensure that everything fits your timeline and budget. Learn more at Covey'sPromotions.com.
Hi, I'm Jim Shockey, and for years I've hunted in some of the toughest conditions on earth. That's why I count on Hornady Outfitter Ammunition. From the back country to the back 40, you can trust Outfitter Ammunition. Featuring corrosion-resistant nickel-plated cases that are sealed watertight and topped with the accurate and rugged GMX bullet, Outfitter Ammunition is designed to perform under the toughest conditions. Outfitter Ammunition from Hornady.
Learn more about Hornady Outfitter Ammo at Hornady.com. As I travel the nation on great hunting and fishing adventures, I find true treasures along the trail. Places that are a must stop every time we pass through. One of those places is the Buffalo Gold Herdware Store in Goodnight, Texas. This is the only place on earth that features all things buffalo. Historical artwork featuring the West and, of course, the bison. Jewelry collections from Santa Fe's Turquoise Moon, Native Bay, and many more. Handmade Damascus steel knives, including the newly designed steak knife collection. On my most recent stop at Buffalo Gold in the Texas Panhandle, I bought an extremely comfortable pair of buffalo hide boots and another pair of buffalo wool socks. The socks, hats, gloves, and beanies are the softest and warmest that I've ever owned, and trust me, I've been through them all. Usable and unique. The Buffalo Gold Herdware Store is on Highway 287, just 40 miles southeast of Amarillo. a short drive and worth the trip from Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Colorado. And for folks further away, shop them online at buffalogold.net.
The Moore family at Southwestern Parts and Service in Dallas has been specializing in fishing reel repair since 1970. Early on, fishermen nationwide recognized that Southwestern Parts and Service was dependable, honest, and very good at what they do. With the largest fishing reel parts inventory in the U.S. and even some inventory for obsolete and discontinued models. Yes, Grandpa's old reel sitting on the mantle can go back to work again. Southwestern Parts is recognized by folks like Shimano, Abu Garcia, Daiwa, Penn, and Zebco Quantum as an authorized warranty center. And labor on fishing reels is $19.95 plus parts on most models, and that includes cleaning and lubrication. And with six full-time reel techs, Southwestern Parts and Service strives to get your equipment back into your hands quickly. Is your local reel shop having trouble finding parts for repair? We can help. Come see us at www.fishingreelrepair.com. That's fishingreelrepair.com. 214-630-8161. We do work for customers worldwide, and we can help you too.
Folks, come in off the porch. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors is back, partners with the Dallas Safari Club.
Thousands of kids and parents enjoy the outdoors today because we took the time to teach them yesterday. We are the DSC, and we are at biggame.org.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to DSC's Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. We love to hear from you. You can leave a note on the camp house door by dropping by the website, bbkoradio.com. Back at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo in January, I sat down with my old friend Shane Mahoney, wildlife biologist, well-respected outdoors wildlife voice, and talked to him about his wild game initiative. Since then, COVID-19 has run rampant around the globe, and a lot of people are starting to think more about wild game on their table, growing their own garden vegetables, harvesting their own meat from the woods, fish from the waters. If that's you, or if that interests you, then what Shane Mahoney is doing, his research, is right up your alley. Shane Mahoney, my friend, good to see you. Our once-a-year visit somewhere on planet Earth.
Oh, it's great to be here again. And I always enjoy our interviews, so I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you do, because I certainly do. I'm always the winner in these things because I learn something every time I'm around you. And I want to get right to it. The Wild Game Initiative that you launched in 2015, it's snowballing. This thing's getting bigger, more people coming in, understanding what it's all about. Tell us about the Wild Game Initiative. What is that?
Well, I started it a number of years ago for several reasons. One was I was just very keenly interested in knowing how the recreational hunting and fishing community was actually involved in this whole big food movement that's out there, you know, for healthy food, natural foods, and so on and so forth. There was obviously a linkage, but there was no way to put any kind of definition around it because I discovered that nobody had ever brought together the information to see just how many animals we actually were harvesting, hunting and angling, fish and birds and mammals, etc. And certainly no one had ever tried to figure out, well, what does that mean in terms of the number of pounds or kilograms or whatever of actual meat and wild protein are we actually harvesting? And, you know, from the outset, when you consider that 40 million people are involved in recreational hunting and angling and in hunting each year in Canada and the United States, you know the numbers have to be enormous. And, of course, one of the things that we are also always trying to grapple with is trying to find ways to have recreational use of wildlife from a consumptive point of view to fit within the narrative of the modern public, because we know there's lots of tensions around these issues. So I was also seeking for a pathway, a sort of a bridge by which we could discuss these important traditions and these important conservation mechanisms to people who maybe felt a little bit uncertain about the activities, those people in the middle. And of course, this food was a way to do that. So I set out to do what nobody had ever done before. And that was to compile all of the hunting and angling information from all states, all provinces, you know, qualified data from the agencies themselves, so that's credible information, to take that and compile for every single species hunted and fished in the two countries exactly how many animals are taken each year to determine the body weights of those animals, and then more than that, the dressed weights, in other words, the gutted weight of the animal, and then even refine it further to get right down to what we would consider to be the consumable weight of those animals. And then to bring that together, and then to move from there to try to determine, okay, well, how many meals does that actually provide in Canada and the United States? So that's kind of the basis. There are a number of other elements to it we can discuss as we go on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you're doing is absolutely essential. And a lot of people do that have come in and partnered with you on this. I place my radio show in certain areas where I'm going to be heard by people that don't hunt and fish, because I want them to understand what we're doing out there. We're not a bunch of yahoos just running around. And you are taking a conversation to those people that brings tremendous protein to the table for their family and exposes what we do more and more there. I like that. And I'm sure the response has been overwhelming from partners that have jumped in on this along the way.
There's no question. I mean, I started this, it was just an idea. It's like a man wheeling an empty balloon in a barrel, you know what I mean? That's how ideas are. I mean, they have no weight, no shape, no anything. You just have to get people to listen to it. But fortunately, a lot of really important, well-intentioned, and people with real capacity have gotten behind this. We have 35 partners currently and growing. We have the state governments in Florida, in Nevada, in Texas, in Arizona, and Alaska, very importantly, has just joined the initiative for 5 years. And we have some fantastic conversations going on with a variety of other states and provinces. And in the NGO world, you know, we have, of course, Dallas Safari Club, which were the first people to jump into this and provide big money to get this started, the very first sponsor of this. And they're still a big player in this. But, you know, we have the Wild Sheep Foundation, and we have SEIF Canada, and the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation is a big, big supporter of this. We have private philanthropists who are, don't always want to be mentioned who they are, but who are also in this in a big way. And now we have a health foundation considering it. We have discussions on with other clothing companies. We have discussions on with kind of other elements in the corporate world, because we're getting big enough now that we think we can attract the Fords and the groups like this, because this is a good story. This is about acquiring healthy food for you and your family, and it takes away some of that tension that's out there in the public mind around hunting, because we know every survey has told us since the 1950s in this country and in Canada and around the world, if you hunt wildlife and you consume that wildlife, the vast, vast majority of people are good with it.
Absolutely, you bet. Now, this group of businesses, individuals, and groups that are joining you in this research and in this effort, is that who you refer to as the Wild Harvest Community? Or is that a town somewhere that subsists only on wild harvest? Because if so, I'm moving there, Shane.
No, we refer to that collectivity right now as the Wild Harvest Alliance. And, you know, we also have now, of course, in there the National Wildlife Federation, which brings a massive pan-continent, pan-country kind of infrastructure. And what's going to happen is every one of those partners will be doing things collectively, so we'll do things together, and then there will also be bilateral things that will happen between, say, National Wildlife Federation and Conservation Visions, my organization, on wild harvest, and between Wild Sheep and between Dallas Safari Club and so on and so forth. We're going to be doing these, you know, bilateral arrangements between individual partners within that Wild Harvest Alliance and Conservation Visions. So we'll be doing events with, for example, the National Wildlife Federation that will be primarily between them and Conservation Visions, which will be branded under the Wild Harvest Initiative. And we're going to have that same kind of thing happen with Wild Sheep and with other partners, of course. I'm also giving very serious consideration to a kind of a magazine, but it will be a very different kind of a magazine. It'll be a magazine that will essentially be lifestyle. Because really, this is what I'm talking about now. I'm trying to bring this debate into a question of lifestyle. Some people choose to do this. We're also looking at a much broader community now. We're going to be including the information on wild berry harvests, wild fruit harvests, wild mushroom harvests, wild antler harvests, medicinal plant harvests, firewood, you know, for personal consumption harvests. Again, to show that there's this huge community of people out there who are harvesting from nature, renewable things from nature. And we know they have a certain amount of affinity amongst one another. And so let's build from that 40 million who hunt and fish to the 100 million who maybe hunt or fish or pick berries or pick wildflowers or harvest firewood or wild mushrooms or whatever the case is.
So much. This is so deep, and it just keeps peeling. The onion keeps peeling year after year and gets deeper and deeper. If folks want to keep up with you, they want to know more about Conservation Visions, and I highly recommend that you do, folks, and get Shane's updates that he sends periodically. Where do they go?
They can just go, they can seek me out, or they can just, connect with conservationvisions.com. I mean, and they'll find everything there, you know. And our motto is going to be eat wild and live free.
Shane Mahoney, a conversation that he and I had at the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo back in January. More important, I believe, now than it was then, pre-COVID-19. More from Shane a little later. This corner of the Camp House brought to you by Calming Care. It gently settles the overactive dog over time. Learn more at bbkoradio.com.
I'm Trey Briggs of the Rice University Bass Club, and when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
At Purina Pro Plan, we know that for a lot of you, your field trial and test season has come to an abrupt and early stop. We feel it as well, but we're all in this together, including our bird dogs. This is an uncertain time, and here at ProPlan, we're doing everything we can to make sure your dogs will have nutritious ProPlan performance formula in the weeks and months ahead. We're working in our U.S. plants, keeping a safe distance from each other to make the various ProPlan formulas that fuel your champion and continue to provide industry-leading quality and safety checks at every step with every batch. We know that increased demand has led to some empty shelves, and we'll continue working hard to make sure that you can find ProPlan products on shelves and online. And we're sending pet food and support to our shelter partners who are working hard as well. Hey, thanks for choosing ProPlan. We appreciate you.
Join the fastest growing shooting sports and outdoor community on the planet. Become an Everest Caliber member today and receive free express shipping on Caliber eligible products, thousands of hours of entertainment, early bird notices on sales and closeouts, partner discounts, give back to conservation, and amazing Everest and partner swag. Join the Everest community today. Buy 1 year, get a second year free. Use code CALIBER2020. Gear up today at Everest.com.
Did you know Trijicon just introduced an expansion of their hunting rifle scope lines? Whether you're hunting whitetail or western big game, one of the more than 80 new Trijicon rifle scopes is right for your next hunt. These are all in addition to the brilliant aiming solutions Trijicon is known for, like the ACOG, RMR, MRO, and thermal night vision optics. Check out all the brilliant aiming solutions at Trijicon.com.
It is the dream of the animal rights fanatics to suppress your most natural connection to the earth, to sell you a life filled with urban fascinations, to ignore that death is life's unwavering partner, together creating a relationship between predator and prey that makes it possible for us all to survive. To the hunter, this world's most honest steward, these fantasies are the poisonous, perverted manipulations of social misfits who would take this planet hostage. They should startle you and awaken you to trust the hunter in your blood.
National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament.
Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read the tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, the tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon. After spending a few days at Joshua Creek Ranch, I describe it as a sportsman's nirvana.
We love creating a unique experience for each of our guests. You know, the interests can vary here from wing shooting to deer hunting to fly fishing to river kayaking. So we have a great variety of guests, and we like for them to enjoy everything we have to offer.
As I enjoyed the birth of a new day over the rolling hill country ranch that is Joshua Creek, I was amazed at the wildlife. Quail, pheasants, native white-tailed deer, trophy class axis deer.
We've worked hard on the habitat, planted improved grasses, really with the help of some wildlife biologists, studied what would make the best habitat to keep our game here.
Mm-hmm. We can hunt easily 6, 7, 8 groups, and we don't try to do it on 40 acres. I mean, these people get to walk. They get to see some country.
Joe and Ann Kirchival invite you to enjoy this free-range ranch just northwest of San Antonio. Visit joshuacreek.com.
Glad you're back. We still have some big fish to fry here at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
A helicopter flies over African bush with the DSC logo on it. When poachers are busted, they can clearly see who caught them. We are the DSC. We are at biggame.org.
Hey, again, we want to wish you and your mom a happy Mother's Day weekend. Hope you guys enjoy some time together. As we turn our attention to women in the outdoors, one of my favorite things at Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo each year is the gathering of the Extreme Huntress competitors. The Extreme Huntress competition has been around for more than a decade now. It's the brainchild of Tom and Olivia Opry up in Montana. The 2019 champion, Lindsey Christensen, joins us next hour. But right now, let's go back to that Dallas Safari Club stage and learn a little bit more about Extreme Huntress and what that competition is all about.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to welcome you to the Dallas Safari Club Convention and Expo. And one of my favorite parts of this every year is what transpires on this stage throughout the weekend. We have a lot of fun. Come on up here, Larry. We have a ton of fun at this event and on this particular stage where we bring some very well-known hunters to you and get to know them a little bit more and their personality. And we also bring you some hunters that maybe you've never seen before, but they're worth paying attention to and see what they're doing because this is a pretty special deal. This is the Extreme Huntress competition portion of the show. And before I introduce the ladies, Tom, this was your brainchild, you and your wife, Olivia. Tom Opry, by the way, produces some of the most incredible outdoor footage on planet Earth. You may have seen his work before and not realized it was him, but it's just spectacular. And he's been all over your television for many years now. He and Olivia do great work. And this was your brainchild. How'd you come up with the Extreme Huntress competition?
Well, first of all, Billy, I want to say thank you very much. Those are really kind words. And let's face it, folks, we're all here because we love the outdoors and we love the animals that live in those outdoors. And we want to make sure they exist in perpetuity on this planet. So, Extreme Huntress, 10 years ago, I was doing a TV show on NBC Sports called Eye of the Hunter that was really successful, primetime television show. And, you know, talking with some folks out there, I saw a need to be able to maybe create a vehicle to promote women, to create positive role models. At the time, you know, our industry, and historically it's been a male-dominated industry. We have a situation where, you know, we've got a lot of strong traditions amongst our families where fathers, grandfathers to sons, passed down a lot of great traditions in that hunting world. And women kind of were always kind of kept just in the peripheral edges of it. Well, of course, we've got a real issue. Our North American wildlife conservation model is based on license, sales, and excise taxes. Well, if we have less hunters in the field, we're going to have less money to pay for that conservation. So what do? We need to get more people involved. And if the generations of hunters are getting older, then why don't we have women involved? Because let's face it, at the end of the day, we all want the same thing. So our goal was to create a competition that would promote women, create great role models. And at the end of the day, I like to say, if mom goes hunting, her children go hunting. So when you have a 50% divorce rate in our country like we've had historically now for decades, and you have kids getting involved in all kinds of extracurricular activities, sports, and so forth at younger and younger ages, you know, if they don't have that male mentor in their life that takes them hunting and shooting, then they may never have the opportunity to go. So we felt, let's get mom out in the outdoors, and then we'll get something happening. And according to the National Shooting Sports Foundation, women are the fastest growing segment in the hunting and shooting sports.
Yeah. A huge part of my audience is women. I talk to those folks. They call me and they say, no, I've never fished or hunted in my life, but I want to take my son. I want to take my daughter. I want to know what my boyfriend, my husband does at deer camp. I want to learn about this stuff. There's a huge interest. Huge.
Absolutely. I mean, it's kind of always been like, you know, we hide our hunting spots and our fishing spots. Well, we don't like to tell anybody else how to hunt either. So, except for our young kids. And the reality is that these women here, they represent what all of the men who are hardcore hunters eat, breathe, sleep, and drink the outdoor lifestyle. These ladies can set up their own tree stand. They can go gut their own deer. They don't need anybody to hold their hand. And that's what Extreme Huntress is about. It's not about women who jump off a tall building and shoot something.
Yeah.
It's not that extreme. But the reality is, you know, the stereotypes, we want to abolish those, because at the end of the day, we all want, you know, healthy forests, and we want clean water, and we want vibrant wildlife populations. We want to leave this planet better than the way we found it. And these ladies epitomize that. They are true outdoorsmen, true sportsmen, true hunters, and just phenomenal, phenomenal spokespeople for our hunting community.
And I want to set the ground a little bit for you. This Extreme Huntress competition, they ride around in golf carts with air conditioners and shoot at targets at 25 yards. No. Meet one of the judges, my buddy Larry Wysoon. You judge this thing, and it's rigorous, isn't it, dude?
I've been very fortunate and blessed to be involved with this since Tom came up with the idea. I've been one of the judges for all those years. And I'll tell you something. I am so glad I'm one of the judges instead of one of the contestants, because we put these ladies, the ladies in the past, through some unbelievably, shall we say, interesting situations when it comes to running, when it comes to shooting, when it comes to shooting long range. The jumping off the tall building, you know, Tom, we need to talk about that. We may be able to add that as one of the things we do this next year, you know, where you rappel up and rappel down kind of thing. But I'll tell you something, the ladies that we have up here, these four ladies in particular, they're some of the best contestants we've ever had. This year was an unbelievable year. We spent some time on the FTW ranch. These ladies know how to shoot. There's no question about it. They know how to shoot deer and far as well, too. But we took them out to Tim Fallon's FTW place there up close to Barksdale, and they got to spend a little time with some of the ex-Navy SEALs, or former Navy SEALs, if you will, and our Rangers and Green Berets, and to learn a few more things about shooting. Even I learned. I've been there many times, and every time I go there, I learn something new about myself and about the shooting. So we put the ladies through those paces to give them a little bit of extra training. Then we put them in some dangerous game courses where they were shooting at 300, 500, 600, 700, 800 yards. They were given so many seconds to shoot, pick, find the target after it was located. Somebody said, target 600 yards, red target. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And during that time, you had to find the target, engage the target, shoot the target twice. Can you do that?
No.
Most of us can't. These ladies can.
Well, and they didn't even know what the range was. They had to figure out the range.
Exactly. They had to figure out the range. And we helped them a little bit to start with to get them used to those long-range shots, because some places you don't get to do that. And I know that I've hunted deer in Sweden and in Europe where I'm shooting from here to there, you know, kind of thing. So it was a little bit new to some of them. Some of the others, Miss Jamie had shot a little bit in the past. Miss Jamie was our returning contestant from the year previous. And so she had maybe a little bit of an idea of what was going on, but we tried to Did any of y'all see any of the segments or the shows that Tom put together on the Extreme Hunters? If you did, you noticed the first morning they get in, and it's hot. It's sun's not up yet. Hot, it's hot. We blow the bugle. We get them up. You got 5 minutes to get dressed, be ready to go, and took them out on a run.
Reveille, 5 a.m.
Reveille at 5 a.m. Again, I'm so thankful I'm one of the judges because I got to ride in the Jeep behind everybody. But that was where the stage was set. And then after all the, after we did them through all the shooting competitions, which dealt with dealing with dangerous game, being charged by dangerous game, shooting 375 type guns, and a few other things, then we were able to take them on a hunt as well too, to work to see a little bit more about that. So there is nothing easy about the competition that these ladies have been through.
Yeah, it's not air-conditioned golf carts.
It's 100-degree temperatures with 90% humidity kind of thing.
Larry Wysoon has been a judge for the Extreme Huntress competition for years now. Tom Opry, who you also heard there, is not only a judge but an organizer and one of the two people. He and his wife, Olivia, had the original thought of the Extreme Huntress competition as a way to shine a light, manifest the women in the outdoors.
This is Olympic gold medalist Kim Rohde. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
There's a Marksman firearms store near you with locations in Mansfield, Killeen, Wichita Falls, and Granbury. And at all Marksman firearms stores... We're ready for spring, whether it's a new semi-auto, pump, or over and under that fits your needs for spring turkeys and sporting clays. We've got you covered at Marksman. Shotgun loads for the range, and big 3.5-inch turkey loads, too. Make your mark this spring at Marksman Firearms. Learn more about us at MarksmanFirearms.com.
When you visit the Vineyards Campground and Cabins in Grapevine, Texas, you'll feel like you're millions of miles away from the hustle and bustle of the city. Our lakefront campground features great amenities like our huge new pavilion that's perfect for family reunions, weddings, and holiday gatherings. High-def cable at every site and fast free Wi-Fi too. The Vineyards Campground and Cabins can accommodate any size bus or RV, and we supply 50-amp service to every campsite. Our cabins are roomy and comfortable with views of beautiful Grapevine Lake, and our well-supplied camp store has everything you need for a campfire cookout or a trip to our private sandy beach. Bring the boat and enjoy our private boat ramp. No lines and no crowded parking. Want to visit shops with that special find or the latest and greatest? No problem. You're just a few blocks away from historic Main Street and Grapevine Mills Mall. The award-winning Vineyards Campground and Cabins on Grapevine Lake. Pay us a visit right now at VineyardsCampground.com. That's VineyardsCampground.com.
At Cornerstone Bible Church in Roanoke, Texas, we embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are affiliated with no denomination but champion God's Word only. We have a very active children's ministry, and we are a safe and secure place to hear God's Word and learn about His great love for us, even though we are all great sinners. I'm John Watson, and I want to invite you and your family to church on Litzy Road in Roanoke, Texas, and on the web at csbiblechurch.org.
They call it Couples by the Creek at Cinnamon Creek Ranch.
So the Couples by the Creek is an event we do once a month. It is a time where there's no kids allowed, so the parents can come out for a great evening. We bring them all into the arena and start out shooting in here. We get the skeet shooting going, archery tag. Joe and Nola do a phenomenal dinner afterwards. All your food, all the bow rentals. You can bring your own equipment if you'd like, but you don't have to. Most of the people that come to the Couples by the Creek have never shot a bow. And we have groups of ladies that come, so it doesn't necessarily have to be a couple. We've had 4 or 5 guys come together. So it's just a night away from the kiddos, get out and have a good time and have a safe time. But we have a DJ usually afterwards. Let's play some music, get a little dancing going with a great meal to follow.
Couples by the Creek at Cinnamon Creek Ranch. It's the dangdest date you've ever taken her on. And she just might fall in love with bow shooting or with you. That's okay. Cinnamon Creek Ranch has the largest archery pro shop on planet Earth, and we do weddings. CinnamonCreekRanch.com. When it's time to consider a taxidermist, look carefully at the choices. The skill level of the artist that you choose will be a visible reminder of your decision from now on. Let me recommend my taxidermist.
Roy Holdridge at True Life Taxidermy in Granbury, Texas. Roy does work for people from across North America and beyond. They insist on True Life Taxidermy in Granbury because of the incredible ability that Roy and his team have in bringing your memory to life. Realistic detail, painstaking precision on your birds, fish, and wild game. With a 10,000-foot studio filled with award-winning artists and nearly three decades of full-time taxidermy work himself, Roy and True Life Granbury can customize your trophy in a unique and high-quality style. Please view his online portfolio at truelifetaxidermy.org. And I think you'll see why True Life Taxidermy in Granbury has been my taxidermist for the past 25 years. Wild game processing available also. TrueLifeTaxidermy.org.
This old camp house has lots of room. Come on in. This is the Dallas Safari Club's Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Conserving wildlife and the habitat that they need for survival. Come be a part of that with the DSC. Learn more at biggame.org.
Over the past few years, and now especially since COVID-19, there's been a keen interest in harvesting our own food for the table. Folks who have never really hunted or fished, taking an interest especially in that wild fish and game on the table, and the good health that goes along with it. That's what wildlife biologist and researcher Shane Mahoney and I were talking about at the DSC Convention and Expo back in January.
Tell me about your homeland of Newfoundland. Tell me about your homeland. I just get a picture of an absolutely gorgeous piece of earth.
Newfoundland is truly, Evan and I have been very fortunate to travel the world. And then, believe me, there are many beautiful places in the world. But Newfoundland is surely one of them. I mean, it's a... It's an island, the 16th largest island in the world, and it's composed of just an incredibly indented coastline. The southern one-third of the island is an amazing set of sort of barren lands, and then towards the center we get into more forested, mixed forested kind of communities. It's an island with thousands and thousands, literally, of lakes and ponds and rivers. 85% of all the Atlantic salmon rivers in the West Atlantic flow to our island or to Labrador. Yeah. And it's a place of great mountains, of deep fjords. So you have a combination of a kind of Norway, parts of it look exactly like Ireland, and then other parts of it are just incredibly rough and stark and wild. And then we have the phenomena of the ice, of course, the icebergs that come down in July and parade around our coast. And then the Arctic pack ice in March that comes and surrounds our island and extends for 200 to 300 miles to sea. You know, and when you get a sunny day in March and you're ringed by hundreds of miles of glistening white Arctic ice, it's really something to see. The seabirds, the whales, I mean, it's just teems with life there. And it's a great place to hunt and fish, but it's just a great place to come and visit, to hike. All the land is public. Virtually 95% of the land is public. You can come to Newfoundland, you can stop your car, and you can get out, and you can walk, and you can hike, and you can berry pick, and you can trout fish, and you can do these kinds of things.
That's a little slice of heaven. And for a wildlife biologist, from your saltwater to your inland forests, there's a lifetime of study there.
Oh, yeah. And I started out actually working on seabirds. That was my first real deep research was climbing cliffs and working on seabirds at a very young age, and then I moved on to the big mammals, of course, caribou and black bear and coyotes and lynx and all of that kind of moose, all that kind of thing.
The Wild Harvest Initiative that Shane first you had a balloon and a barrel bouncing around years ago continues to grow, and if you don't hunt, if you don't fish, if you wonder why we do this, I enjoy the experience. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's not about pulling the trigger. That's the great misconception. At 95% of the meat that we serve in our home, we've either caught. It's either fish that we've caught or venison, axis deer is my favorite, just a ton of wild meat that we eat and share with others. I had meatballs made up and have given them now to two non-hunters. They're nuts over it. People just need to know. That's what you're doing.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the other components of this, I mean, we're going to give a value to just a conjectural value of what would all of this mean. We're talking, by the way, we now have the information. We will soon be coming out with this, but we are talking billions of meals. Not millions, billions of meals, okay, that are being served every year. And we could probably increase that amount. But one of the other things we're doing is we're surveying in various states and provinces all of the active hunters with the help of the agencies to determine for the first time again how many people do individual hunters, how many people do they actually share with other people in the general public. So if we have 40 million people who hunt and recreationally fish, you can be pretty well assured that they're sharing that food with at least four or five or six other people, both within their family and outside their family. So we are working on a rough estimate, which we are testing with data. We're working on a rough estimate that probably as many as 200 million people in Canada and the United States actually consume some of this food. And when you think about that, you all of a sudden begin to realize, you know, maybe that is part of the reason why we still have the vast majority of people in this country and in Canada who support those of us who recreationally hunt and fish.
Even though they don't understand what we're doing.
Totally. But, you know, if you're going to eat it, right? Yep. If you are going to eat it, you probably don't have a big problem with the process either. You know what I mean? You kind of agree with it.
I can't wait until the numbers are all finalized and come out. I can't wait to see this stuff. Can you give us a little hint at maybe a couple of things you've discovered?
Well, I'll tell you. As I said, I'll tell you openly about how we're going to bring this out. The scale of the numbers, in terms of the numbers of animals harvested, which has been, of course, sustainable for 100 years in this country and in Canada as a result of the North American model approach, the numbers are enormous, number one. And therefore, you know, when you have a large piece of information like that, you have to be careful about how you bring that out to the broad public. And then we're going to start to come out with individual species profiles. So we will, in other words, gradually release all the information by species, showing why it's sustainable, a little bit on the population of that animal, then how many animals are harvested, how much meat is coming out of that, how many meals are created out of that for whitetails, for mallards, for pronghorn, you know, for elk, and so on. And that series will eventually culminate, of course, in the large final picture of what we are actually doing. And don't forget that one of the most important things we're going to do with this work is we are then going to determine what would it take to replace this. And it's one thing if we were talking about replacing 10,000 meals, but I'm telling you we're going to have to replace billions of meals of top quality, wild, clean, unadulterated protein for human beings that's being consumed right now by families and friends of people listening to this. That is no small undertaking, and the environmental costs of doing so will be very large, but all of this food we're talking about that you eat and that I eat, there is no damage to the environment. Instead, it creates a group of people who want that environment protected so that wildlife is still there and who pay disproportionately to keep it there.
Yeah. Scientifically managed by very smart people, absolutely. And that is the only way. Natural reproduction is the only way to reproduce those meals. You can't do that in a factory.
There's no way. There's absolutely no way to do it. And, you know, this is why, you know, for a long time the hunting community sort of felt, well, you know, people who live in cities, I don't know, you know, they won't understand what people in the more rural places do where a disproportionate number of people hunted. We're finding exactly the opposite now, and your radio show is an example of this, right? We're finding it's exactly the opposite, that there are lots of young people in cities who are saying, you know what, I want really healthy food. I want to know where my food comes from. I want to know that people are not taken advantage of in the production of this food. I want to know there's no poisons, no chemicals in this food. I've got my own little children now. You know, I don't want to do these kinds of things and so on. And they are coming to this wild harvesting thing in big numbers. It is no accident that Mark Zuckerberg is now a deer hunter. It's not because, you know, as for many of us, our daddy or our uncle or our granddad or somebody took us out there or we grew up with that. No, it's because they're interested in this idea of a healthy lifestyle and taking responsibility for the food that they harvest. I think it's absolutely fantastic, and I think this program is only going to continue to grow. And as that information starts to come out, and the new films, by the way, that we're producing right now, and the new articles and the books that people are talking to me about writing, and maybe even clothing, kind of idea. Yeah, I mean, there's so much there, right? And think about this with a little T-shirt on it or your hat that says, you know, eat wild and live free. I mean, what's wrong with that?
Wildlife biologist and researcher Shane Mahoney with Food for Thought. Interesting, isn't it? Come see me at bbkoradio.com for a quick link to all of Shane's work. Hey, let's take a little leg stretch and get a cup of coffee. I'll meet you right back here in the camp house at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
In the truck. Half the fun is just getting there. Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Safari may be deep in the African bush, or maybe a trip with the grandkids to a neighborhood pond. No matter where you safari, we fight for you at the DSC. BigGame.org.
Hey, thank you so very much for joining us here in the old camp house at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club. It means a lot to us, and we greatly appreciate it. This corner of the camp house is brought to you by Purina Pro Plan, the world's greatest dog fuel. And I mean it. Take a look back over the past decade plus at the Westminster Dog Show Grand Champions. You'll find that the vast majority of them are Purina Pro Plan dogs. So are 89% of the field trial champions across North America. Purina Pro Plan is at Atwoods Ranch and Home Stores, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas, Kansas, and Missouri. It's Mother's Day weekend here at the DSC's Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, and that means we're going to focus on the ladies a little bit this hour. We're going to be talking to the 2019 Extreme Huntress Champion. She comes from Idaho. She can out-hunt most men that I know. And her name is Lindsay Christensen. You're going to enjoy getting to know her a little bit and a little bit more about the Extreme Huntress competition. Up in Maine, COVID-19 has affected the legendary Maine Moose Draw. Yep, moose in Maine. It's on the bucket list of many a hunter and has been for many a year. It's hard to get drawn. And the deadline to apply for the 2020 Maine Moose Lottery is 11:59 p.m. Eastern, May 14th. That's coming up rather quickly. It's this coming Thursday. The change comes at the permit drawing. That'll be June 13th at 1 p.m. Eastern at the Unity College Sky Lodge, Jackman, Maine. Normally, everybody would get together in person, and it would be a festival-type atmosphere to see who wins the moose permits in Maine. Now, because of COVID-19, it's a virtual event broadcast live by the Fish and Game Department, June 13th in Jackman. The South Carolina Department of Natural Resources this past Tuesday reopened all manned managed shooting ranges in the state. There are new rules because they still are implementing social distancing measures, but that's a good sign. Ranges opened up in Pennsylvania this past week as well. When I fish in South Dakota, boy, the shining star of that state is their fish cleaning stations. I'm really jealous of these things. They are, in case you've never been there, at a lot of the state parks, recreational areas, fishing access areas. They're approximately 8 foot by 8 foot, I'm guessing, under a covered pavilion with drop-down water hoses, overhead electrical plugs for your fillet knives, and even a grinder in the middle for the fish waste. They're nice, and they're closed. Got a note this week from the folks with the South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks Department reminding everyone that they will be closed because of COVID-19 for the foreseeable future, reminding anglers to take their fish home to clean them or bring fillet knives, Ziploc bags, and trash bags with you when you fish. Up in Washington and Oregon, the northwestern portion of the United States, things starting to open up again. The Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife reminding anglers that a number of emergency rules remain in effect for state waters. However, for individuals wanting to go fishing, things are opening back up. Now, charter and guide industries have not received approval from the governor's office to resume operations, but individuals can go fishing. The Columbia River opened up this past Tuesday for spring Chinook. The Snake River opened on Tuesday for Chinook as well, but only 4 days per week. Make sure you get up to date on the latest rules before you load up and go. In Oregon, recreational salmon and steelhead fishing on the Columbia is open for 4 days only in May. Two of those days have come and gone. Today is the third, and next Wednesday, May 13th, that's your fourth and only remaining available day to fish the Columbia in Oregon this month, unless rules change again. If you have a dog with an itchy coat, or maybe an older dog that needs added glucosamine in their diet, or any kind of special condition, there's a Purina Pro Plan that's perfect for your dog. Pick it up at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores. Back to South Carolina we go, where the Department of Natural Resources is accepting online applications for their public alligator hunt. A $10 non-refundable application fee is required for the public lands hunt, and that random computer drawing, based on a point system, will determine the hunters. This year's public season begins at noon, September 12th, runs through noon, October 10th. And the deadline to apply is 5 p.m., June 15th. Tag fees, if selected, $100. Hey, the Arizona Game and Fish Department is accepting applications for 2020 hunt permit tags issued through the draw process for deer, fall turkey, fall javelina, bighorn sheep, fall bison, and Sandhill Crane. The deadline for that department to receive all applications is 11:59 p.m. Arizona time, Tuesday, June 9th. Well, hey, let's take a little break, and then when we get back together, I want you to meet the 2019 champion on this Mother's Day weekend of the Extreme Huntress competition. She comes from Idaho, and her name is Lindsay Christensen. You're going to like her.
Hey, everybody. It's professional bass angler Gerald Swindle from Hayden, Alabama. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm sure thinking about it or I'm using the bathroom. With Big Billy Kinder, outdoors.
Well, not the using the bathroom part.
Well, sometimes outdoors, that's the place to be.
Hi, I'm Corey Mason, Executive Director of Dallas Safari Club, and I want to welcome you to our show on great radio stations across the country and Sirius XM Channel 131. With humble beginnings, Dallas Safari Club began to grow through the years, as did our efforts to conserve wild things and wild places. Our membership has stretched beyond Dallas, Texas, and now reaches around the globe. We have continued to conserve precious resources, teach future outdoorsmen and women about the pure, safe joy of our outdoor heritage, and stand strong to protect your right to hunt, fish, and enjoy the shooting sports. Many thousands have seen the importance of our work and joined us at DSC. Safari can be an overnight camping trip at a state park or a hunt on a foreign continent. We at DSC celebrate safari near and far, and our hope through our partnership with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors is that you will see the importance of this work and become a part of it with us. To learn more about our mission and for membership information, spend a few minutes with us at biggame.org.
Hi, I'm Jim Shockey, and for years I've hunted in some of the toughest conditions on earth. That's why I count on Hornady Outfitter Ammunition. From the back country to the back 40, you can trust Outfitter Ammunition. Featuring corrosion-resistant nickel-plated cases that are sealed watertight and topped with the accurate and rugged GMX bullet, Outfitter Ammunition is designed to perform under the toughest conditions. Outfitter Ammunition from Hornady.
Learn more about Hornady Outfitter Ammo at Hornady.com. There's a Marksman Firearms store near you with locations in Mansfield, Killeen, Wichita Falls, and Granbury. And at all Marksman Firearms stores, we're ready for spring. Whether it's a new semi-auto, pump, or over and under that fits your needs for spring turkeys and sporting clays, we've got you covered at Marksman. Shotgun loads for the range, and big 3.5-inch turkey loads, too. Make your mark this spring at Marksman Firearms. Learn more about us at MarksmanFirearms.com. From the deck of your private cabin overlooking the confluence of the famous White and Norfolk Rivers at Norfolk Resort Trout Dock, you can see crystal clear running waters that hold one of the world's greatest populations of rainbow and brown trout. In fact, this is the home of world record trout. You might be distracted, though, by the beautiful rolling Ozark Mountains that hold you during your stay. Just up the road a few miles is incredible bass fishing for largemouth, smallmouth, and spots. You'll find the best guides in the business at Norfolk Resort, and your boat is just a short walk from your cabin. Your guide will find a gravel shoal perfect for preparing a hot shore lunch with fresh-caught trout and all the trimmings. You'll think about a nap after lunch, but there's more fish to catch and river to explore before retiring to your fully furnished riverside hideaway. Sound good? Of course it does. Norfolk Resort Trout Dock in Norfolk, Arkansas. NorfolkResort.com. You know, as bird hunters and bird dog owners, we've seen our wild bird hunting opportunities dwindle in recent years. And if you, like me, don't want to kennel your bird dog in the spring just to let him hibernate till fall, then you should take a long look at the world's largest field trial organization, the National Shoot to Retrieve Association, or NASTRA. This was the very idea of NASTRA's founding fathers back in the 1960s. They wanted to extend time in the field with the dogs that they loved. And it must have been a pretty good idea, because over the years, many thousands of men, women, teens, and families have enjoyed participating in NASTRA field trials. All pointing breeds are welcome, and there's no need to be intimidated. NASTRA sponsors over 1,000 field trials across the U.S. and Canada each year. It's at these trials where your dog can earn his NASTRA championship, qualify for entry into your regional championship, and NASTRA's 5 national championships. Take a look at our website, nstra.org, and consider visiting a local trial. We look forward to meeting you.
I'm looking at a 12 with a 10-inch drop tine. Y'all go on inside. The whole Dallas Safari Club bunch is in there with Big Billy Kender Outdoors.
The Dallas Safari Club meets monthly at chapters across the U.S. If you'd like to attend or start a chapter in your neighborhood, visit biggame.org.
The Extreme Huntress competition is a little over a decade old. They're taking a break this year, and that was good timing. What with the COVID-19 pandemic? Extreme Huntress is the brainchild of my friends Tom and Olivia Opry up in Montana. And the 2019 champion is Lindsay Christensen from Idaho. I caught up with her not long ago, and I think you're going to enjoy meeting her on this Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah, I've been on the mountains with my dad before I could even walk. So pretty much, but I'm primarily a bow hunter, so I grew up watching my dad harvest animals with a bow, and then I was able to shoot my first deer at the age of 12.
12 years old, and where? What part of the world did you grow up in?
I live in southeast Idaho, and that's still where I live currently, so that's where I got my first deer.
Yeah. How many years did you enter the Extreme Huntress competition? Two?
Two, yep. So I did it in 2016, crowned winner in 2017, and then this year.
Okay, and year two differed greatly from year one, the competition. So we're going to go to the torture master, my friend Tom Opry over here, who sits and devises. He's part of the brain trust that devises this stuff. Tom, always good to see you, man.
Yeah, and it's great to be here, Billy. I'll tell you, I'm not really the master behind the excruciating skills challenges and efforts there. I can blame our great friend Larry Wysoon and my wife Olivia for most of the torture that goes on. But, you know, this year was a little bit different. You know, we've had 10 years of Extreme Huntress, 10 separate winners, and so the judges and I sat down, we're like, okay, we've done 10 years, when do you put a new twist on this thing? And so we were able to sit down with the past winners, and we basically figured that 4 of them would make pretty good huntresses, and we wanted to do a thing, we changed it to Ultimate Extreme Huntress. So we have 4 ladies that are all previous winners. So they've got a great track record. They've done an incredible job in the past. Great spokespeople for the hunting community. Great hunters also. And so this year we started out at the FTW Ranch there. Tim Fallon and the crew hosted us down there for some very, very intense SAM skills training and challenges. So
SAM skills, and that is sportsman's all-terrain, all-weather shooting training, hunting training, rifle training. Let's talk about the Texas first part first, and then I want to come back to him because they ramped it up after that. What took place in South Texas?
So we really went through 2 days of just grueling challenges. It was Honestly, I couldn't even remember the challenges until I watched them on the episodes because everything was happening so quickly. You know, we were just, we learned so much. Our brains were just full of so much knowledge, and then we just went and implemented all that at that knowledge, and it was happening so quickly. Like, we didn't even know how we did in some of the skills challenges until we watched it on the episode. So, yeah, it was crazy.
That is crazy, and it wasn't just shooting disciplines. You guys were down there running in the hot sun and more.
Yeah, we ran, and we also shot handguns, our 6.5 Creedmoors, and our 375. So we did some more, like, longer-range shooting and slower pace, and then some closer distance, fast-pace shooting as well.
Right, very good. Under the burning hot sun of, I believe it was July when you were down there, the end of July. And, man, I've been in South Texas in July. It ain't pretty.
It was hot, but it was better than the first time I did the competition. The first run that we did in 2016 when I did the competition, I think it was like over 100 degrees, and we were running like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was just sweltering. So it was much more pleasant this time. We had a little bit of rain, and so it was a little cooler, which was appreciated.
Yeah, and rare, very rare. So, Tom, up to this point, things are status quo, you know, for the Extreme Huntress competition, pretty much, down in South Texas in the Texas heat in the summertime. But then you guys flipped the switch.
So we've changed the status quo this season. We did a three-day FTW course and a bridge course last year. This year, we only had a couple of days because we had a 10-day schedule versus a one-week schedule that we've typically done in the past. You know, we do a couple of days FTW, go to a private ranch for 4 or 5 days, and do some hunting for exotics here in Texas. Well, this year it's a little bit different. So not only was the FTW a little bit shorter, but there was a lot more involved in it because these gals not only needed to do the SAM precision course, which usually takes 3 days, but they also needed to be involved in the SAM Safari course. And the reason is these gals went to Zimbabwe.
Traveling. Oh, y'all were traveling. How soon did you know that this was going to be two-part here and then South Africa? So you knew what was happening there. How'd they do?
Well, you know, it was an adventure. So we started off, we had to go over to Houston and grab flights over to South Africa, to Johannesburg. And from there, we flew up to Harare, the capital of Zimbabwe. And then it was about, a 5 or 6 hour drive down to the Save Valley Conservancy, where we met up with the folks from Des Fountain Safaris and their crew. And the Save Valley Conservancy is almost a million acre wildlife conservancy, has Africa's Big Five. So you've got your elephant and lion and leopard, crocodile and Cape buffalo, rhino, you know, elephant. So, I mean, it is the real, true wild Africa. And our goal here, especially knowing that we had four previous winners, we knew with the training at the FTW and the amount and the quality of the hunting that we were going to have with Des Fountain Safaris, this was going to be one heck of a production.
Yeah, and I guess it was, and it's all online if folks want to see it. Now we have a champion. And was that your first trip to South Africa?
Well, actually, I went to South Africa in May. I had a safari booked from the previous year. My husband and I and a bunch of our friends from Utah went on a bow hunting safari in South Africa. So it was interesting going to Africa twice in the same year, hard on my work schedule, but two totally different experiences. So.
Two totally different experiences because no one made you get, you actually got to ride in the truck the first trip. And then when you go back with Tom and Larry and the guys and Olivia, you got to run along beside the truck. You know, it's a little more grueling. Tell me about your hunt.
So I was lucky enough to be paired with Tanya Blake. She's the only female PH in Zimbabwe, and we had a phenomenal time. Even if I wouldn't have shot any animals, I still would have had an awesome trip and come back, you know, just as happy as I am that I harvested a few. And, you know, she's great to hunt with, and as you know, there's not many women who actually are out there and hunting on their own and doing things in the outdoors. And so it was really nice to be able to hunt with another woman who wasn't my sister. I hunt with my sister all the time at home, but it was so cool to just be able to learn her background and her experience. And she had a lot to bring to the field, and we just hit it off. And it was just so natural. It was like I've known her for years, so it was awesome.
Yeah, that is very cool that you can have a mentor like that that you work with in this competition. Did you harvest an animal or two?
I did. I got four.
Four. Hold on.
Okay, hang on just a minute.
I think we're letting the cat out of the bag here a little early.
Okay.
We talk about going hunting in Africa. Well, these ladies were hunting what they commonly call the Black Death. Cape Buffalo. This is a very dangerous hunt. In addition to some of those incredible plains game hunting, they were hunting eland, which is the largest antelope in the world. Also other plains game, zebra, warthog, and various other species. So, but being in Zimbabwe in the Save Valley Conservancy, which just found safaris, it is not South Africa, and most of South Africa are smaller parcels of land, usually high fenced in order to contain the animals for their management. But where we're at, this is wild and woolly Africa. I mean, there's lions roaring behind the tent 50 yards behind your tent every night. You do not go sit down in the dry riverbed and take a nap, because you might not ever wake up again, and if you do wake up, it might not be real good. So these ladies,
maybe some parts missing.
Well, there could be a lot of things missing. So, but these ladies were all paired with a professional hunter. We had to do that by law. Originally, I kind of wanted to go with different ones every day, but because of the dangerous game nature of it, they were assigned to a specific professional hunter. And then these ladies went out every day. After a great morning breakfast, they would go out, first light, and they'd be out there looking for tracks. This is very thick country. There is some water sources on it, but we were working over a course of about 85,000 acre ranch looking for Cape Buffalo, and it was thick.
More from Extreme Huntress originator Tom Opry and the 2019 champion Lindsey Christensen coming up. Purina Pro Plan brings us this corner of the camp house at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors. 30% protein, 20% fat. That is Pro Plan performance for your hard-working dog. Pick it up at Atwood's Ranch and Home Stores.
Hi, I'm Sandy from Tony's Bait and Tackle here in Selby, South Dakota. Come here and hunt pheasants with us. When I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
Everest, the first online multi-merchant marketplace for the hunting, fishing, and outdoor worlds. We're a community driven by our passion for the outdoors. Shop a broad range of retailers offering hundreds of thousands of products. Hunt, shoot, fish, hike, camp. At Everest, you can interact, participate, contribute, learn, transact, and give back. What's your Everest? Gear up today at Everest.com.
Did you know Trijicon just introduced an expansion of their hunting rifle scope lines? Whether you're hunting whitetail or western big game, one of the more than 80 new Trijicon rifle scopes is right for your next hunt. These are all in addition to the brilliant aiming solutions Trijicon is known for, like the ACOG, RMR, MRO, and thermal night vision optics. Check out all the brilliant aiming solutions at Trijicon.com. Right now is the time to put a solid game plan together for this fall and winter. Dillon hunting blinds keep you warm, dry, and quiet, resulting in more time spent in the field. If you're comfortable, you fidget and move less. Dillon hunting blinds are a completely assembled one-piece unit with insulated foam walls. A marine decking fiberglass floor means no rot, ever. Framed glass windows that flip up and in with friction hinges, and drip rails on each window. Need vertical windows for bow hunting? We've got you covered there, too. The classic 4x6 features two fiberglass gun rests and a 4-foot shelf and a super quiet locking aluminum RV-type door. The Dillon name is legendary because of tough, long-lasting construction, competitive pricing, one-piece construction, and all-day comfort. At Dillon, we're ready for fall. Are you? Visit us online at Dillon, M-A-N-U-F. com.
Crappie anglers, tired of tying knots? Hey, Wally Marshall, Mr. Crappie here to tell you about the all-new Add-A-Hook by Bullet Weights. The Add-A-Hook is designed to put a hook on your line without using any knots or cutting your line. Hold the Add-A-Hook next to your fishing line, then wrap the line 5 times around each side. Pull your line into the clips, and bam, you're ready to go, and it will not slip. I can tie a double crappie rig in 30 seconds when it takes up to 6 minutes to tie one with all the knots. Add-A-Hook is made of stainless steel, no rust, flexible, and tough. Mr. Crappie and Bullet Weights has made it better, faster, and easier for crappie fishermen to get back in the water catching more crappie than ever. Bullet Weights has a full line of Mr. Crappie double mantle rigs for trolling and vertical fishing. The Mr. Crappie Troll Check rigs are designed to troll in shallow waters and heavy cover, keeping two baits close together without hanging up. Also, don't forget Mr. Crappie Slow Troll and Double Drop Crappie Rigs. Pre-tied with number two hooks, double swivel weights, and 8-pound line. Tie one on today. Look us up at bulletweights.com.
The Dallas Ecological Foundation is now the Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation, or OTF. Hi, I'm Scott McClure with the OTF, and I wanted to let you know that aside from the name change, we are the same organization, a 501c3, doing the same important work for the future of American youth in the hunting, fishing, and shooting sports. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is the wheel that keeps outdoor adventures moving in our schools. Outdoor Adventures is in hundreds of schools across America, teaching kids in junior highs and high schools great things like archery, boating safety, camping, and hunting. It's a legitimate part of the school curriculum. Outdoor Adventures is a PE course for kids that just don't have an interest in school or athletics or team sports. They're not involved. The life lessons learned and the lives that light up when learning these outdoor skills are real, and the stories are fantastic. The Outdoors Tomorrow Foundation is opening new insights to youth through public schools. If you'd like to donate or see Outdoor Adventures in your local school, the first step is to visit our website, DallasEcologicalFoundation.org.
Every animal that has ever roamed this planet was designed as hunted or hunter, predator or prey. We are hunters. If it were ever necessary, even the strictest vegan would return to the wild, driven to survive by the instincts of his ancestors. Those who hide behind the soft delusion of their own ignorance do so from within a civilization whose very being costs the lives of countless creatures every single day. Death is an undeniable fuel of life. This is the undeniable truth of existence. To live in balance with the planet that sustains us, we must admit and embrace the nature within us. Trust the hunter in your blood.
From the rough brush of South Texas to the thick bush of South Africa, it's Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by the Dallas Safari Club.
Wild sheep in the western U.S. water at desert guzzlers, providing life-sustaining moisture where there was none. Look closely. DSC fingerprints are there. BigGame.org.
Hey, I'm Billy Kinder. Welcome back to the camp house here at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors, presented by DSC. The Dallas Safari Club does conservation work, golly, all over the globe. And even if you're not a Dallas Safari Club member, you benefit from the good work of the DSC. They're on Capitol Hill fighting for your Second Amendment rights, your rights to hunt and fish. They're educating the next generations that will harbor and protect our heritage. And they're doing good conservation work all over the globe, here at home and abroad. If you're not a member, you really ought to be. BigGame.org. Or come see me at bbkoradio.com, and we've got a direct link and more info for you. Let me just give you an example of some of that good work from DSC. As part of DSC, DSC Foundation's Hunter Care COVID Anti-Poaching Relief Effort Initiative, the DSC Foundation has unveiled plans for the creation of the DSCF COVID-19 Relief Fund. It's designed to raise money in support of critical anti-poaching efforts. Additional components of this significant and important effort will be announced soon, but I did want to let you know that even in the midst of this pandemic, the Dallas Safari Club Foundation and the Dallas Safari Club are working diligently. Hunting operators largely self-fund anti-poaching efforts in Africa. Due to the devastating financial impact of the coronavirus pandemic and the resulting loss of hunting revenue used to fund those efforts, the need for anti-poaching assistance has never been greater. Poaching has not gone away during the pandemic. In fact, reports suggest that it, along with habitat degradation, is on the increase as poaching syndicates take advantage of the turmoil. Our world is facing a wildlife and habitat crisis that is unfolding before our very eyes. DSC Foundation has a long history of supporting anti-poaching measures, and to address this urgent need, the DSCF COVID-19 Relief Fund has been established to receive donations specifically earmarked for anti-poaching efforts. If you would like to help, please visit DSCF.org www.dlsafariclub.org and click on the DSCF Hunter's Care graphic. Hey, it's Mother's Day weekend. Does Mom own a gun? Hey, if not, get her one and get her in touch with an organization called A Girl and a Gun. Juliana Crowder started A Girl and a Gun. I ran into her on the Sporting Clays range a couple of years back.
Juliana, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
You know, when I was in high school, if someone had said A Girl and a Gun, I would have said, will you marry me?
We get a lot of that.
I bet you do. What a great, great cause, because we've seen since 2009, the numbers just exploding. The ladies are learning and coming into fresh and anew, no bad habits, the shooting sports.
Yes, absolutely. 70% of the ladies that participate with us have never shot before or consider themselves new shooters. So we have wonderful opportunities just to teach them upright and, you know, make them educated consumers and confident gun owners.
Yeah. Is this your idea? Did you come up with this?
I did, and I had the first Girls Night Out February 28th, 2011,
yeah.
And I was just looking to have more ladies, you know, come take their concealed carry class or come take firearms training, even participate in the shooting sports. And I thought, well, I got to, you know, get them in first.
Yeah.
So I just started hosting Girls Night Out with, you know, come to the range, I'll show you how to shoot. You know, I brought my guns, I brought ammo, and I just made it a very fun experience for them.
Yeah.
And a very social experience.
I don't think it's ever been more important for ladies to learn how to shoot and girls, responsible young ladies to learn how to shoot. And there's a million things we could talk about. We could talk all day long, but it's very important work.
Absolutely, because a lot of women are finding themselves the head of their own household for, you know, various reasons. And they're also finding that they're in charge of their own, being their own first responder. They're in charge of their own safety. But what we're also finding is excellent family time together. You know, do something with your spouse or with your children. And when we get mom to the range, we get the whole family to the range.
And that's a common theme. Anyone you talk to in the shooting industry, they talk about the family going out to shoot, the family. This is one of the safest things you can do with your kids.
It is, because we're teaching them responsibility, we're teaching them respect, we're teaching them self-control, we're teaching them consequences of actions,
yep.
And we're also teaching them, you know, how to be athletic in a different way.
Yeah. How did you start shooting? Where did this all start for you?
It's my husband's fault.
Okay.
he really wanted me to participate with him in IDPA and get my concealed carry license,
uh-huh.
And, you know, encouraged me to take classes. And before you know it, we had started a business teaching together. And about 5 years into it, Girl and a Gun just kind of popped in. And here we are. We're in our eighth year, actually. And we're just going strong. We're national.
Yeah. A Girl and a Gun. What do you do?
We host the Girls Night Out at the range. We get them, you know, to the weekend classes. We get them to gun cleaning clinics. We invite them to competitions. We also host a couple of national events where we put on retreats. We have a national convention, a training conference in April every year for our members, as well as a fall fest. So we host our own three-gun competition, and this year we added a handgun compartment to that as well. So, you know, we're really just putting the whole mission in motion of, you know, we're asking women to, you know, take responsibility for their own personal safety, as well as be full participants in the shooting sports.
Yeah. As any of us begin to grow and our voice gets louder in the shooting industry, there are those on the outside that want to blow back a little bit. Have you had any resistance?
You know, we do have, you know, those that question what we do and how we do it, but we always just come right back with, we are being safety conscious. It's important to educate people. You know, guns might not be for you, but they're part of our society, and the responsible thing to do is to know about it.
Yeah.
And one of the projects that we're very proud to work on is the DC Project, and that's where they take 50 women and they bring them to DC every year to meet with our legislators, our congressmen, our senators, and just say, before you vote and, you know, before you make changes, think of me as an American citizen, a proud, you know, 2A supporter, a gun owner, and let me be a resource for you. You know, we're sharing our stories on why we're gun owners, or, you know, why the Second Amendment is so important.
Yeah. When you first began shooting, what was that? Was it a pistol, a rifle, a shotgun?
I started with pistols,
uh-huh.
And quickly moved into shotgun, because my husband is an avid hunter and he'd,
yeah,
take me dove hunting. And then, you know, of course, rifles fell right along into that, as being a three gunner.
Right.
And, you know, running through the countryside, shooting pistols, rifles, shotguns, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah, there you go. Do you just
just enjoy the range, or have you branched into hunting?
You know, I have branched into hunting this year. Was a little bit more aggressive than it has been the past decade that I've kind of tried.
Yeah.
I took my first deer, and I also got...
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I also got a hog. Just, you know, for that kind of life experience.
Yeah.
And I tell you, there's nothing more humbling than harvesting an animal, whether it be for food or for conservation.
Right. 95% of what goes on my table at home, my wife, my son, and I either caught it with a hook or shot it with a bullet or shotgun. And it's very rewarding, and it's such good meat, protein. It's so good for us.
Yes. I'm still learning how to, you know, make it taste good. That's a whole other challenge in itself. So that's, you know, that's a whole other part of it is, you know, harvesting and then also now learning how to prepare.
A Girl and a Gun, where are you guys based out of, and where can folks go online to take a look?
We are based out of Austin, Texas, and we are a national organization. You can find us at agirlandagun.org.
Okay, you're down in the Texas Hill Country, so let me just give you a little tip on making that venison taste good.
Yes.
Go shoot an axis deer, better than beef.
Okay, I'm on it.
You've got those down there, you know.
Yes, okay, that'll be what's on my list then for the fall hunt.
Yeah, axis deer. You'll remember me when you taste that axis deer. Hey, continued success to you, and wow, you're doing a good thing. Keep it on the grow.
Thank you so much.
That's Juliana Crowder, the founder of A Girl and a Gun. Hey, great shot. We've got a link at bbkoradio.com if you'd like to hook mom up this Mother's Day weekend. A little earlier this hour, you had an opportunity to say hello to and get to know Lindsay Christensen a little bit. She's back with us after we take a little break, make a run to the coffee pot, stretch our legs. Thanks for being here with us in camp at Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
I'm Larry Potterfield with Midway USA. And when I'm not in the great outdoors, I'm always thinking about it with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors.
At Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing in Roanoke, Texas, we've been doing it right for 30 years now.
We hold ourselves to a higher standard when it comes to producing all the meat that your animal will yield in only the cleanest and most sanitary facility.
And all your meat will be vacuum sealed, airtight to preserve the fresh flavor.
With more than 40 fresh and smoked recipes handed down generation to generation in the Mazzocchio family, your family will love it. From breakfast sausages to taco meat and tamales.
Our jerky won the Bass Pro Shop Best Jerky Award 3 out of 4 years.
Your wife is going to love what we do with your wild game at Cinnamon Creek. Our products are sampled and approved by wives and kids.
From day one, we've held ourselves to a higher standard at Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing. And over the past 30 years, the quality of our foods have never changed.
We work extended hours during hunting season, so drop by the website at ccrwildgameprocessing.com for details.
Cinnamon Creek Wild Game Processing in Roanoke, Texas. More than 30 years of family recipes that we enjoy sharing with your camp. ccrwildgameprocessing.com.
The world has changed. Life has changed. Now, we've seen firsthand how quickly and drastically we can go from everyday ordinary to life and death. There have been times when we all have just wanted to get away, but there was no away, no place to shelter that felt safer and more secure. You know, maybe now is the time to change that. We here at BBKO are teaming up with reliable and trustworthy realtors around the country that specialize in rural property. Did you know that your family can own a private island on international water or a ranch in the rolling Texas Hill Country? Room to spread out, room to breathe. Enjoy these beautiful places now and find a quiet place to rest when needed. Shelter from the storm might just be property for your family. We have more information at bbkoradio.com. National outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby knows of what he writes.
I think I probably hunted in just about every western state. And I fly fished in a lot of those places.
He's fished the waters, walked the land, and harvested the game that makes him authentic.
That's where the basis of that comes from. I wanted to make this really authentic, and I wanted people to identify with it. Guys like you and I have a real hard time finding good stuff to read, because it's written by guys that just don't know what the heck they're writing about. And guys like you and I, we read two pages and we say, hey, that's phony. This is not the way it is.
Ever since The Old Man and the Sea, fishing novels have been scarce on the horizon. That was until national outdoor writer Ken Kirkaby wrote his Blue Water classic, The Tournament. Chuck Winchler of Sporting Classics says you can read The Tournament in about the time it takes to catch a big marlin. And every moment will be just as fun, just as exciting. Jennifer Mayhall of Paradise This Week says, The Tournament reels you into the world of sport fishing and doesn't let you go. The Tournament by Ken Kirkaby. Get it on Amazon. I want to urge you to plan what will be the trip of a lifetime to Argentina. Hunt doves or ducks with my friends at Cordoba Doves. Lane Balky is the U.S. representative, and he's right here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Call him at 817-797-9020. Like me, you can plan your next trip of a lifetime with Lane Balky and Cordoba Doves.
We pick you up at the airport, and you're in our care, custody, and control. All meals, all drinks, all eats are included in the package.
Lane is a hunter himself, and when he describes that first morning that you'll witness in the field, it raises the hairs on the back of your neck.
The first morning, the fly-off of the roost in the morning is spectacular. Birds almost as far as you can see, and they fly like that all day until sunset.
Come on, let's go to Argentina. It's closer than you think. Visit CordobaDoves.com or give Lane a call, 817-797-9020.
My name is Jose Grasso, the owner of JJ Caceria. Can see me in Argentina.
We screen that porch in just for you. Glad you enjoy it. You're in camp with Big Billy Kinder Outdoors and the Dallas Safari Club.
Three buses loaded with kids and parents roll down the highway just like thousands before them have done, all at the invite of the DSC to learn the legacy of the outdoors. Be a part of this at biggame.org.
You know, over the past decade, 15 years, there have been a lot of women step into hunting camp with confidence, and rightly so. They usually outshoot and outhunt the boys. This gal does for sure. She won the Extreme Huntress competition last year. Let's pick our conversation back up with Extreme Huntress champion Lindsay Christensen and Huntress founder Tom Opry. Part of the Extreme Huntress competition last year was in Texas and part in Africa, where the girls hunted buffalo.
Yeah, so the first couple days we stayed near the lodge and didn't have a ton of luck in locating fresh tracks. And so the next 2 days we got up at 3 in the morning and we drove a couple hours away and we were kind of hunting in a dry riverbed. And we got there right at first light, but unfortunately the buffalo had already crossed through, so we were too late. And so what we actually did was we tied some brush to the back of the truck and we brushed all the roads so that when we would come back the next morning, we could hopefully cut their tracks and be on them. And we left even earlier the next day, and we came and we were just in time. We actually split the herd in two, like as we were coming in the morning, and then the herd honestly had about 400 buffalo. It was crazy. Yeah, so we got it done. You know, we were not even halfway through by the time we actually got it done, but it was a lot of hard work. We had 7 or 8 failed stalks before I was successful in getting the buffalo that I harvested. And it was not failed because of anything that we did wrong necessarily. It was just because there were so many of them. And so we had buffalo on all different sides of us, so the wind would change and then these would spook, and then, you know, and so we were running and trying to beat them, you know, to where we thought they were going, and it was intense. So
I guess it was intense. That many eyes on you, and you can't watch your backside and your front side at the same time.
We actually had a cow and her calf buffalo come like maybe 5 or 7 yards from us. Oh. And we were just trying to stand like sticks, you know, we're like, is she going to charge us or not? You know, like we kind of all were like, don't move, you know? And so, and being a bow hunter, I'm used to getting close to animals, but not used to getting that close to dangerous game animals, of course, you know?
Okay,
so,
buffalo.
Yep. So,
well,
yeah.
Tell me this. Tell me about the shot. Tell me about the time when you harvested your buffalo. Set me up. Distance, what happened?
So I think we were probably maybe 60 or 70 yards. There was honestly several different good mature animals in that group, and we had went after this one that honestly was like an old grandpa. His horns were all broomed off, and his face was completely white, and we just couldn't ever get him. He just always had, I never had a clear shot at him, and we tried 3 or 4 times to try and get on that one. And so instead we settled for, which I'm perfectly happy with a big old Duggar boy, like 9-10-year-old buffalo. And he was in a herd of maybe 15 or 20. Like, he had broken off separately from the big herd, and there was maybe 15 or 20 in that group. And we were able to get, we got about probably 60 or 70 yards, and I actually was laying on kind of like a log and shot him. And because he was in a big group, I had a soft bullet up first and then a solid, because we didn't want to be wounding any more, you know, animals if it went through or anything like that. And so he was slightly quartered towards me, and I hit him right in the point of the shoulder where I needed to, but and he immediately dropped. But unfortunately, because I was shooting a soft, he got right back up, and so I had to put a couple more, you know, rounds in him. But yeah, it was super fun.
Yeah, super fun, super intense, and now you are the ultimate huntress, and that's got to feel really good. But that's not all of the competition. You depended upon the public along the way, too. This is all very public. People can watch online what's going on and then vote for you guys.
That's correct, yeah.
That had to feel kind of bad, because everything else up to now has been under your control. This is not.
Correct, yeah, and thankfully, I mean, the voting portion, it wasn't a popularity contest, and I didn't win the voting. I got third in the voting, and I did my best to, you know, to advertise and things like that. One of the other contestants is actually a big social media influencer, so it's very hard to compete with that, you know, in the voting arena. And then, you know, it's honestly hard trying to recruit new people to vote for you, especially we had a 3-month voting period this in the finals. And, you know, I post once or twice a week on social media, but it's just that people have already voted and they can only vote once, you know. So we had to get creative, you know, trying to reach some new people and tell them about the competition and the show and things like that.
It's fun. What a great idea you guys came up with. And I want to go back to the original idea of Extreme Huntress. Why is this important? Why did it ever even come about?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Billy. You know, in this day and age, historically in the United States, you know, most of the Western civilization, we have, you know, 50% divorce rates. And when you have kids at younger and younger ages getting involved in extracurricular activities, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, if they don't have that male mentor in their life that's going to take them to the outdoors, that's going to expose them to hunting and fishing and shooting sports, then they probably never will do that. And we have a real disconnect in our world today. You know, the Western civilization really doesn't understand nature anymore. And part of our thing here is that if we can create these positive role models, if we can get mom, you know, these mothers out into the outdoors, we kind of coined the phrase, if mom goes hunting, the kids go hunting. And so at the end of the day, our goal is to have ladies like Lindsay who go out there and talk to people and talk the talk, incredibly great speakers, great, you know, spokespersons for the hunting community and wildlife conservation, because that's what hunting is about in North America. You know, it's about creating that value and taking responsibility for the stewardship, not only of the wildlife, but the wildlife habitat. And these ladies, every one of them is A1 plus, number one, the best people we have out there. And they really, really care about what we all care about, which is the great outdoors.
And for you, the brand new crown wearer, bearer of the Extreme Huntress competition, back home to Idaho now?
Well, actually, I've been spending a lot of time in Alaska lately for work, so I'll be going back there here shortly. I'm a nurse and have 3 jobs and go to school, and so I'm always very, very busy, but I also shoot archery on a professional competitive level, and we're just about to start our big tournament season, so I have some big tournaments coming up next month, and I've been training for those, and that's...
Tom made a great point, and he's exactly right. You're a great spokesman for what we do for conservation and a great advocate of that, and you live the lifestyle. Has this opened up some opportunities to spread the word a little bit?
Definitely, yeah. And see, the first time I did the competition, my dad always told me that archery was my avenue to travel the world, and because of archery, you know, I got into hunting, of course, and it really has opened a ton of doors. I've been able to do lots of travel. I've been, you know, to Africa twice, to Spain a couple times, Canada, England, and Mexico, all that hunting. And then additionally, you know, people are just interested, and before I never really would bring up hunting like in common conversation, because it wasn't like supernatural, and it's becoming more natural. I'm meeting more and more people who actually do hunt or who want to hear about hunting, And I've also, over the past few years, grown a lot more tactful in talking to non-hunters and anti-hunters. And I actually,
good. Watch your tongue. Watch your tongue.
I actually really enjoy speaking to, you know, to them and educating them if they're willing to listen. It's frustrating when they're just, you know, bashing you on social media for what you do, but they're, you know, they just, and honestly, they don't understand. And so it's nice to find those few people that actually want to get education on the topic of hunting and conservation.
Yeah. Those middle grounders that need to understand how in the heck is hunting conservation. You know, if I kill a Cape buffalo, how's that going to help the Cape buffalo? But it does.
Yes, it definitely does. Yep. Populations have to be managed everywhere, like Tom mentioned, and the meat from my Cape buffalo got donated to the village, and it fed a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people, for sure. Congratulations again. Very deserving. We're really happy for you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Tom, it's always good to see you. It's better to see Olivia. Send her next time, okay?
Well, she's a whole lot nicer on the eyes, I can say that. So, can't remember the name of the radio station, but can we get it on there? As I'm heading out to my hunting blind or go out ice fishing in the winter, I got to tell my kids, I'm like, hey, that guy on the radio, he's a friend of your daddy's.
As I watch you climbing those glaciers and different crazy things you've done in your life, I share that same message. Hey, congratulations, another great season.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Extreme Huntress champion Lindsey Christensen and wildlife biologist Shane Mahoney, my guest on the show today. Also want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the time you and I have had together in this old camp house and invite you back next time around. Until then, may God bless you and your bunch.